top this. Why does a chicken cross the road? That was no chicken. That was my wife.
Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
Try.
Can you, Senator Ford?
I might.
And you, Joe Lurie Jr.?
Maybe.
Those expedient exclamations introduce the pint-sized author comedian, Joe Lurie Jr., the popular after-dinner speaker and current topic humorist, Senator Ford, and the well-known columnist, cartoonist, and after-dinner speaker, Harry Hirschfield. These effervescent emers of entertainment bring you another session of Can You Top This? With the best wishes of Kirkman Soap Flakes. And here's that enchanting exponent of elegant English, Rod Jabour.
Good evening. By this time, I'm sure you all know that the top rule of Can You Top This is keep them laughing. I'll explain the other rules before the Kirkman Laugh Meter goes into action. But first, Alan Kent wants to tell you about the way Kirkman Soap Flakes go into action on your finest washables.
Ladies, Kirkman Soap Flakes are the kind you can trust for those things you prize so highly. For dainty washable silks, woolens, rayons, and nylons. You see, pure white Kirkman Soap Flakes are made of the same mild, gentle ingredients as most complexion soaps. When you use Kirkman Soap Flakes, your clothes last much longer than if you use flakes or soaps which depend on harsh chemicals to do the cleaning job. And Kirkman Soap Flakes are especially nice for washing soft, dainty baby's clothes. They're nice for dainty hands, too. And, of course, I know that in these times you're trying to economize, trying to use luxury products as sparingly as possible. But it's really economical to use luxury-type Kirkman Soap Flakes. Yes? It's thrifty to use Kirkman's, not only for your finest things, but for dishes and regular laundry, too. For Kirkman gives you 40% more flakes than most other high-quality brands at no extra cost. I'll explain this later. But now, Roger's ready with the other rules of Can You Top This?
Can You Top This is unrehearsed and spontaneous. Anybody can send in a joke. If your joke is read in this program by the well-known actor and storyteller, Pete O'Donnell, you are credited with $11. Then each of our three gag specialists, Harry Hirschfield, Joe Lurie Jr., and Senator Ford, who have not heard your joke until Pete O'Donnell tells it, gets a chance to top it with another joke on the same subject. Every time your joke is topped, your credit is chopped by $2. If all three jokesters top you, Kirkman sends you $5 and a joke book. And everyone whose joke is told by Pete O'Donnell gets a big gift package of 6 Kirkman soap products. Laughs are registered on the Kirkman Laugh Meter in full view of the studio audience, and in all cases, the decision of our judges is final. All right, gentlemen, are you ready?
Ready.
That's fine. The first subject comes from John Ratcliffe of Fall River, Massachusetts. And the subject is restaurant, or restaurants. Eating places, Joe, you know.
Yes.
Beanery.
Yes. Now I know.
Peter Donald, will you read Mr. Ratcliffe's story, please?
Well, Pat and Mike, who had just come to this country, went into a restaurant one day, and on the table was a big jar of horseradish. So Mike said,
I wonder what in the world that white stuff is there in the little pot.
So he said, why don't you test it and see?
So Mike took a big spoonful of the horseradish and he put it in his mouth. And of course, the tears came streaming out of his eyes. Like this. Pat said,
what are you crying about, Mike?
He said, I was just thinking about me poor old grandfather who was hanged in Ireland. He said, here, you test the stuff.
So Pat put the spoon in, he got a big mouthful of his stuff, and of course he started coughing and choking and the tears coming down his face. So Mike said,
what are you crying about now, Pat?
He said, I was thinking it's just too bad you wasn't hanged with your grandfather.
That joke got 100 on the Kirkman Laugh Meter. 100 is the amount. The subject is restaurant or restaurants, and I see that Harry Hirschfield had his hand up first.
Well, this is a gag in two parts. I can use it two parts. Two Scotchmen went into a restaurant. Before they went in, they agreed not to tip the hat check girl, get the cheapest meal. And when they sat down, they noticed that Sandy was buttering the bread on both sides. And the waiters were looking at it, and the boss was looking. It was getting embarrassing. And finally, the other Scotchman says, Sandy, I never saw that before. What's the idea of buttering the bread on both sides? And he says, don't you think my lower lip likes butter, too? Well, there's another part. So going out to the hat check girl, they got the stuff, and as they started out, he says, Sandy, you said you wouldn't give any tip. He says, you gave her 10 cents. I saw you give her, get it back. He says, shh, look at the coat she gave me.
That was, you tied Mr. Ratcliffe's 100, but you did not top it, Harry.
And both of them?
No, the first one. Oh, yours is the first half. That was 74 3/4 of the first half. But the second half got 100. It tied Mr. Ratcliffe. It didn't top. He still holds his own, still has $11. And Joe Lurie has his hand up second.
Well, this one is just making the rounds lately.
It's about the refugee that came to this country, didn't have any friends, didn't know the language, and he got hungry and went into a restaurant. He waited around. He didn't know what to ask for. Didn't know anything about English. So he looked at a man, and the man next to him says, bean soup, and he got bean soup. So he says, bean soup. The fellow brought him bean soup. He says, I got to remember that, bean soup. So that night he went in for supper. He says, bean soup. So they gave him bean soup. This kept on for 3 weeks. That's all he knew, bean soup, and he got a little tired of bean soup. So he says, well, I'll wait for another fellow to order something. So a fellow next to him ordered a ham sandwich. So he says, a ham sandwich. So the fellow says, how you have it, buddy? White or rye? So he looks up and says, bean soup.
That was very good, Joe. You got 80 on the Kirkman laugh meter. However, it didn't top Mr. Ratcliffe's 100, and so he still holds his own. He still has $11. Senator, 4 to you in this round?
Yeah.
You know, we're doing this without a beard, you know.
Well, with or without a beard, I'm going to tell this one. Two newspaper reporters met. One was a bright, alert sort of a fellow and quite a kidder. And the other fellow was, he was what is known as a news moocher. He's very lazy and used to go around and get news the easiest way. So he said to the brighter fellow, he said, anything doing around the neighborhood? And the bright fellow said, yeah, I just got a report that a fellow choked down in a restaurant down the street here. And the other fellow says, yeah? He says, give me the lowdown. How did he choke? So the first fellow said, well, he was eating some horse meat and somebody hollered, whoa.
Senator, that was 100 on the Kirkman laugh meter. That also tied Mr. Ratcliffe's 100.
That one won a beer, didn't it, Joe?
However, since none of you wits has... that extra laugh, ladies and gentlemen,
you're
is that...
not wearing
fact
a
that,
beard, but the jokes are.
Peter Donald is sporting a beard tonight. Not at all unbecoming, either.
And a sporty beard.
Sporty beard, yes. That also accounts for Mr. Hirschfield's remark about beards. Or as Joe says, beavers. Well, since the none of you wits has topped Mr. Ratcliffe's 100, we send Mr. Ratcliffe $11 on that big Kirkman gift package. This next subject should be dear to you gentlemen's heart. It's wives. Wives.
Woo-hoo.
You needn't look pained, Senator. I know you have a lovely and charming wife, and as I said before, she's a good cook. It comes from Roy Goff of Burlington, New Jersey. Will you read Mr. Goff's story, please, Peter?
Well, a husband called the Bureau of Missing Persons, and he told them that his wife was missing. Asked them to please look for her. And a few days later, the Bureau phoned the husband that they had found a woman who answered the description of his wife. So the guy was very relieved. He said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that you found her. He said, what did she have to say? And they said, oh, she hasn't said a word. He says, brother, that's not my wife.
That was 32 of the Kirkman laugh meter. And I might add that for once the mug didn't get any more than 32.
Once I think he shaves in the morning.
Yes, I see. Well, the Kirkman laugh meter gave that story 32. The subject is wives, gentlemen. Well, Senator Ford had his hand right up.
Yeah, I know all about wives. Well, anyway...
No, you don't.
Ditsy Baumwortles, when his first wife departed this mundane sphere for happier climes, Ditsy shook his head very sadly and said, you know, Ella was a fine wife. She was always so thoughtful. Whenever we got into a fight, she always hit me on the head with the soft end of the broom.
Well, Senator... That might... This might... This might surprise you, Senator, but you topped Mr. Goff. You got 36. 36. 36 in the Kirkman laugh meter. You topped him by 4, and so we chop away $2, giving him now $9. And Joe Lurie had his hand up second, Harry.
Well, a fellow's wife didn't feel very well, so he called the doctor. And the doctor went in to examine her. When he come out, he says... What is it, doctor? What would you advise me to do? He says, well, he says, I'd advise you to send it to a warmer climate. He says, oh, I haven't got the heart to do it, doctor, but if you'll do the job, there's an axe behind the door.
61 in the Kirkman laugh meter, Joe. 61, definitely top Mr. Hobson. 32, and so we chop away $2 more, giving him now $7 and giving us now Harry Hirschfield.
I got an ipsy-pipsy. A woman went on, she was one of these fat mamas, and she went on a diet. She became one of those martyrs. You know, everybody had to suffer along with her. She told everybody she was dieting and dieting. One day they caught her in a restaurant, and she had double orders of everything. Doubled herring and double this and double that. Everything, double a tremendous meal. So somebody said, I thought you were on a diet. She says, no wife should diet. I looked up the statistics, and you know what the statistics show? That nearly every woman who dieted to please her husband found out that he ran away with a fat woman anyhow.
$110 in the Kirkman Laugh Meter, Harry. $110. Well, since all of you wits have topped Mr. Goff's 32, we send Mr. Goff a joke book. Plus $5 for sending in the story and that big Kirkman gift package.
And well, a hair from Peter's beard.
Yes. Well, we're snip and tuck tonight. One for the customers and one for you, boys. Let's see how we go from here on in. This next subject comes from Mrs. Annie E. Smith of Bremo Bluff, Virginia. And the subject is also dear to your heart. Wages, gentlemen. Wages.
Oh, I thought you said
remuneration,
wages.
Remuneration, said Peter Donald, will you read Mrs. Smith's story, please?
Well, it was a very, very timid little guy named Brown, and for a long time, he wanted to ask his boss for a raise. And every morning, he'd say, well, I'm going to ask him today. Now, no fooling. I'm going to get up and I'm going to tell him something. And just then, the boss would come along, and the guy would get all frightened. He'd sit down and wouldn't say a word. So one morning, just as the boss came along, the fellow sitting next to Brown said, hey, Brown, why don't you ask the boss what you said you were going to ask him? Go ahead. So the boss came over. He said, yes, Brown, ask me what?
He said, oh, well, boss, says, look here, I want more money or else.
The boss said, or else what?
He said, or else I'll work for what I'm getting now.
That story got 71 in the Kirkman Laugh Meter. 71 is the amount. The subject is wages, and Joe Lurie Jr. had his hand up first.
Mamie and Aggie met. And Aggie says, hello, Mame. Says, are you still working down a beauty parlor? She says, no, I'm not. She says, gee, you made some swell wages there, too, didn't you? She says, yes, and tips. She says, what'd you leave for? She said, I didn't leave. They fired me. So what'd they fire you for, Mamie? She says, well, I'll tell you. Some dame came in one day, and she wanted an egg shampoo. So I gave her the egg shampoo. And I guess I didn't rinse her hair very well, because when she walked home in the sun, an omelet broke out on her head.
81, Joe, on the Kirkman Laugh Meter. 81, top. Mrs. Smith, 71. So we chop away $2. He now has $9. And Harry Herschel had his hand up second.
Pincus met a lawyer for the first time. It's socially. So socially, he said to him at the club, he says, how does the international situation look? The lawyer said, very serious. And he sent him a bill for his fee, which was his wages, for $25 for advice. He was awful sore about it. Next day, he meets him again and he says, is Buffalo near Canada? The fellow said, it is. So he sent him again, a bill for $25. The next day he met him and he said, listen. He said, it looks like rain, but remember, I'm telling you, not asking you.
$114 in the Kirkman Laugh Meter. $114,
yes.
You top Mrs. Smith, 71, so we chop away $2 more, giving her now $7.
Yeah, there are all kinds of, you know, incomes. For example, wages, fees, and honorarium. Honorarium is the same as wages, only more so. Well, anyway, there was a fellow by the name of Ossie Tupergills who was stuck on Screwball Jake's daughter, Elviry. So he went around to Jake's home one night to talk over the possibilities of taking a trip o'er the seas of matrimony. So Jake said, what is the money situation with you come Saturday payday? Or in other words, what is your weekly stipend? So Ossie said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I got a great future. He said, I'm learning to be an electrician for an entomologist. So Jake said, if I remember right, an entomologist is a guy who collects bugs. So Ossie said, that's right. So Jake said, well, what does an electrician for an entomologist do? So Ossie said, I'm learning to put the electric light bulbs in lightning bugs.
90 on the Kirkman Laugh Meter, Senator.
Without the aid of the flour, it was 92. That topped Mr. Smith's 71, so we chopped away another $2. And since all of you wits have topped Mrs. Smith, we send Mrs. Smith a joke book. Plus $5 for sending in the story in that big Kirkman gift package. Well, you're doing very well tonight, gentlemen. Exceptionally well. There's another subject that I know you know something about, too. The theater.
What's happened to it?
Joe, don't you often wonder about your part in it?
Yes, I do.
Well, this
I
comes
dream
from,
about it.
You dream about it, I see. This comes from Mrs. Irene Dobray of Newark, New Jersey. And as I said, the subject is the theater. Peter Donald, will you read Mrs. Dobray's story, please?
Well, it seems that Jake Ginsburg had never been to the theater in all his life. He's just an easygoing guy, didn't like to go out much. So one night, he was sitting around the house, and his wife was looking at him, and finally she said, "Hey, Jake," she said, "Hey." She says, "You know, I'm ashamed of you." She says, "Honest to goodness," she says, "you sit around here every night like a big meatball." She says, "I'm tired of looking at you." She says, for goodness sakes, don't be a no-good all your life. Why don't you go out to the theater at night and get a little culture, see the acting and everything?"
He says, "All right, don't holler, so I'll go to the theater."
So he goes down to a theater to see a musical comedy, and of course he gets inside, and he thought it was wonderful. Oh, he walked around the lobby, and he looked at all the chandeliers and the beautiful plush seats and all those fancy ushers, you know, saying, "Step across the mezzanine seats, oh, no, oh, no, I have a ticket from Veneer."
He says, "Thank you, Admiral. I'll sit down right here."
So he sits down. In a couple of minutes, the orchestra comes out, and they play the overture to the show. And he applauds at the end of the overture. And as soon as they finish playing the overture and the play starts, he gets up and he goes home. So he gets home, and his wife, she says, "Hey," she says, "what's the matter, Papa? You're home so early. What's the matter? You didn't like the performance, the show? You didn't have a good time?"
He says, "Oh, I had a wonderful time. Ay, ay, ay." "Oh," he says, "did I enjoy?" He says, "everything was wonderful. Everything was a number one ipsy-pipsies. Wonderful." He says, "listen," he says, "the theater was beautiful, and the lights were wonderful, and the music was gorgeous." And he says, "then all of a sudden, the curtain went up, and people came out, and they started talking, and it was none of my business, so I got up and went home."
Well, that went to the top of the Kirkman Laugh Meter. The top is 130, gentlemen.
We go for the ride.
130, yeah, not ride. Necessarily for the ride. If all of you, all three of you gentlemen can get 130, you know, Kirk will be glad to send you some products. Delighted.
That's worthwhile.
Yeah, so you can really try out. Harry Hirschfield put his hand up first.
I like this dialogue. Two women are talking, and one says, "My son is the biggest scenario writer in Hollywood. Such a scenario, he's the biggest." And she says, "and your son?" He says, "my son is a commentator in front of a burlesque theater." That's the ride.
Oh,
No soap.
Well,
another gag.
That was 30, if you want
to. No, nope. Let's pass it on.
You can tell another one if you wish, Harry. I have a minute here. Well, that was 30. It didn't
I
top
should kill
Mrs.
myself
Dobray's
prices.
It didn't top Mrs. Dobray's 130, so she still holds her own naturally, $11. Joe Lurie had his hand up second.
I always liked the one about the old fella in the moving picture house, and he's down front, and he's looking around. He's making people get up, and they're looking around, and he lights matches, and finally the usher comes down. He says, "what's the idea? What's the matter? What'd you do? Lose something?" He says, "yes, I lost a Carmel." He says, "out of my mouth, fella, Carmel." He says, well, all this fuss for a Carmel? He says, "yes, but my teeth were in it."
Well, Joe,
good joke.
Joe, you also hit the top of the Kirkman Laugh Meter. You tied Mrs. Dobray at 130. She still holds her own, though, with $11. Senator Ford, you're scratching your cranium there. Are you thinking up another 130 story for
us? Well, no, I was at a theatrical party the other night, and I told one that I think fits in here all right. You know, the first show I ever saw was a railroad melodrama called The Brakeman's Daughter or Fun in a Signal Tower. Well, although I was a mere stripling at the time, I still retain all the scenes very vividly, especially the last act. That was a Lulu. It was a dark night. There was a terrible storm. The lightning flashed. The thunder roared. And the fast express was approaching a railroad bridge when the darn broke. You have to say darn. You can't say the other word on the radio, you see. Well, the darn broke. The water cascaded down in torrents and washed away the railroad bridge. There was the fast express approaching, roaring toward the railroad bridge that was washed out with its human cargo of 90 souls and as many heels. And there was the railroad bridge washed away, the signal tower gone, no lanterns, in fact, nothing with which to signal the train, when out of the darkness dashed the brakeman's daughter. She rushed down to the track and waved the clothespin. The train approached. The engineer saw the clothespin in the beam of his headlight and stopped the train. Thus, the fast thinking of the brakeman's daughter averted a catastrophe. For every engineer knows that a clothespin is a sign of washout on the line.
Well, Senator, that...
I got mine. I just thought of it.
Senator, almost blew the top off the Kirkman last meter.
It's too late for mine?
130, if it isn't too long, it's not too late.
No. This fella, a son said to his father, he says, I'm an actor, father. So the father decided to got all his friends. They all bought tickets to see the show. When they came there was his son, a super, holding a gun. First act goes by, he doesn't do a thing. Second act, he says, probably the second act, boys, he'll probably do something. Second act, he's still the super holding the gun. Still he doesn't. He says, must be the third act. Third act, he's still holding the gun. The curtain is just about getting done. The father hollers out, Sam, if they won't let you do anything, at least shoot off the gun.
Very good, Harry.
To the first one.
Well, that was good. No. The two of them gave you 130.
All right.
Since none of you wits has stopped Mrs. Dobrays, we send her $11 in that big Kirkman gift package. Well, gentlemen, it's time for the clown table discussion, and we'll give you about 60 seconds to sharpen your wits while Alan Kent finishes his story about Kirkman soap flakes.
Ladies, Kirkman soap flakes are pure white, petal thin, and as mild and gentle as most complexion soaps. Now, I want to be fair and admit that there are other pure white flakes that match Kirkman's in quality. But when it comes to economy, well, just listen. Most of the others come in small 12.5-ounce boxes. But the big Kirkman box holds 18 ounces. You get 40% more fine flakes. 4 extra cupfuls at no extra cost. This bargain is possible because the makers of Kirkman's frankly follow a policy of taking less profit and giving you more for your money. And because Kirkman's give you so much more, you can afford to do all your washing with these luxury type flakes. Not only for your finest things, but dishes and regular wash too. Why not resolve right now never to dip your hands in anything but complexion soap quality suds? Start using Kirkman Double Duty Soap Flakes tomorrow.
Say, Alan, you ought to sing your commercials like so many other announcers
do. Yeah. You could sing Kirkman Soap Flakes hit the spot, 18 ounces, so what?
Or you could sing like that fellow Gaston singers, I'm nuts about the good old Kirkman Akies.
Yeah, or you...
It's aches, Harry. It
I
aches.
Know it.
Or you sing especially.
Of course, you might sing... Oh, I wish I had some Kirkman flakes. The snow white suds are what it takes. Wash away, wash away, wash away, Kirkman flakes.
Well, boys...
Yeah.
Yeah. I can honestly say I never heard singing like that before.
Oh, thanks, Alan.
Yeah,
much applause.
Yeah, he knows something about singing.
Maybe it'll be better music to our listeners' ears if I mention the 3 valuable coupons on every box of Kirkman soap flakes. You can redeem them for a beautiful free gift. A big special this spring is a beautiful ice lip jug for only 50 coupons. Start saving tomorrow with Kirkman Double Duty Soap Flakes.
Thank you, Alan. Well, gentlemen, how about that clown table discussion? Have you thought about anything?
We've been thinking of humor and stuff like that, you know. You know, most humor is about women. Marriage, matrimonial stuff, that's the biggest...
Yeah, matrimony isn't a joke either, you know that. Yeah.
And peculiarly, it isn't professional humorist. It isn't professional humorist that talks about marriage and the institution of marriage. It's the people themselves that are married that kid this institution called marriage.
Yeah, institution. That's what it is. But who wants to live in an institution all his life?
You know, one of the gags of marriage that's one of the famous ones is the girl saying to the fellow, I wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth. He said, listen, if I was the last man on earth, you wouldn't have to.
I like the one about the servant girl that applies for a job, and she says she's a good cook. And the woman says, you know anything about stews? She says, I should. I married one.
Well, that stew thing kind of reminds me of one of the old babies has a beard longer than Peter's here. It's the one about the married man who used to get plastered so he'd see double and feel single.
Not a bad idea at that.
One of the famous married gags is the fellow said, was that Bill's wife out with him last night? He says, no, he don't go out with married women.
I love the one the fellow says, I wish the government starts an aluminum drive again. So I could turn in the pot I married.
Well, I suppose it's time for me to love one, too. You know, everybody, I love this one, I like that one. One fella said to another, what would we be without women? The other fella said about $5,000 a year better off.
And remember the wife arguing with the husband? She says, you don't know what love is. He says, yes, I do. That's something the minister chucked in with honor and obey.
I love the one about the woman says, how are you getting along with your husband? He says, oh, I got him eaten out of my hands. He says, ain't that great? It saves washing dishes, don't it?
Well, gentlemen, I'm afraid that's all we have time for tonight in the clown table discussion, and thank you. And may I remind everyone listening in that you can match wits with our three joke specialists by sending in one or more jokes to Can You Top This in care of WOR New York. You win a cash prize and a Kirkman gift package if your joke, as told by Peter Donald, tops our three gag authorities on the Kirkman Laugh Meter. All jokes become the property of Can You Top This? And if two or more persons send in the same joke, the first one received is the one used. And please don't mind if we edit your joke. Incidentally, since we try to get a variety of subjects from week to week, jokes are sometimes held for several weeks. So if you sent in a joke a couple of months ago, don't be discouraged. It may still be read by Peter Donald. And so ends another session of Can You Top This? Brought to you by Kirkman Double Duty Soap Flakes. Safe for your finest washables, thrifty enough for dishes and family laundry, because there are four extra cupfuls in every box. Join us again next week, same time, same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Hastings Ford.
Harry Herschel Hirschfield.
Joe, no middle name, Laurie Jr.
Beaver Donald.
And G. Roger Bauer.